Welcome to day 21 of our 33-day consecration to St. Joseph, the wonders of our spiritual father. Today we'll be going over Joseph Most Faithful, and pretty good day lined up here today. I think you'll like this one. So, but first let's, as always, open in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and loving Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you have given us and all that we've become through you. We thank you for our blessings and all of the gifts that you've bestowed upon all of us. And we also thank you for this time together. We ask that you please send your Holy Spirit to be with us today as we learn and grow closer to our spiritual Father. And all of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's get started here today on day 21, Joseph Most Faithful. Pray for us. The church admires the simplicity and the depth of his, St. Joseph's, faith. St. John Paul II. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen spoke of three rings in marriage, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. Those who are married know this to be true. Marriage is not easy. It begins with a honeymoon and will be filled with many hardships, difficulties, and trials. For a marriage to work, mutual love, sacrifice, and faithfulness are necessary. A Christian's relationship with God is a spiritual marriage. It too requires mutual love, sacrifice, and faithfulness. Those who are spiritually espoused to God need to be faithful in good times and in bad, in health and in sickness, in riches and in poverty. Saint Joseph was always faithful to his wife and to God. Saint Joseph is a model of faith. Faith is one of those three theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity. But what exactly is faith? How is it defined? The letter to the Hebrews gives us a good definition. It states, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Christian faith acknowledges who Jesus is, adheres to his teaching, and trusts in his promises. Joseph was deeply pious. He prayed much for the coming of the Messiah. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. A Christian is called to have faith in Jesus and trust in him. Acknowledging who Jesus is just is not enough. Demons acknowledge who Jesus is. See Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, Mark chapter 5, verse 7, and Luke chapter 8, verse 28. But they don't love or trust him. Saint Joseph, on the other hand, is a model of faith and trust. He knows who Jesus is and trusts in him. Saint Joseph held fast to Jesus' words even when his mind and senses were unable to completely understand what Jesus meant. Saint Joseph exercised an active, trusting, and zealous faith. Saint Joseph never doubted the divinity of Jesus or his power to conquer evil. To the world, Jesus looked like an ordinary child, but Saint Joseph knew he was God. He adored our Lord in the cradle, in the home in Nazareth, in the temple in Jerusalem, and as a grown man in his workshop. Saint Joseph was always aware that in seeing Jesus, he was gazing upon God Almighty. Saint Joseph was faithful to Jesus in good times and in bad. At the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and when Jesus was lost in the temple in Jerusalem, Saint Joseph was faithful to Jesus in health and in sickness, teaching Jesus to be a good carpenter and dying in the arms of Jesus. Saint Joseph was faithful to Jesus in riches and in poverty. When gold was given to Jesus by the Magi, and when the gold ran out, and they lived in poverty in Egypt. Saint Joseph will increase your faith. Today, it is not easy to be faithful to Jesus. The world does not want you to trust Jesus, hope in his promises, or love him. If you live according to the teachings of Jesus, you will be ridiculed and mocked by the world, and maybe even by your own family and friends. Should you endure exile and isolation out of love for Jesus, he is worth it. Should you suffer financial loss out of love for the truth, God will reward you. If you are belittled, spoken ill of, and culminated because of the stance against abortion, homosexual marriage, and contraception, your reward will be great in heaven. Imitate the faith and loving trust of Saint Joseph. Be steadfast, trusting, and intrepid in your faith. It is precisely the intrepid faith of Saint Joseph that the Church needs today in order to courageously dedicate herself to the urgent task of the new evangelization. Saint John Paul II. Adorer of Christ. How many times did he, Saint Joseph, like the lone sparrow, nestle on the roof of that holy temple of the divinity, contemplating this divine child sleeping in his arms, and thinking of his eternal response in the bosom of the Heavenly Father? Blessed William Joseph Chaminade. Wherever Saint Joseph traveled with his wife and son, his home became an adoration chapel. Nazareth, Bethlehem, and Egypt are all places where Saint Joseph contemplated the divine presence of Jesus Christ and welcomed others to do the same. In that sense, Saint Joseph is the founder of adoration chapels and, with his wife, is the first to conduct a procession with the body and blood of Christ. Along with Jesus and Mary, Saint Joseph gave the world the greatest adoration chapel known to man, the Catholic Church. Thanks to Mary and Saint Joseph, every Catholic church around the world has a tabernacle housing the real presence of Jesus Christ. Christ present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. No one can describe the adoration of this, Saint Joseph's, noble soul. He saw nothing, yet he believed. His faith had to pierce the virginal veil of Mary. So likewise with you. Under the veil of the sacred species, your faith must see our Lord. Ask Saint Joseph for his lively, constant faith. Saint Peter Julian Aimard. In Nazareth, months before the angel revealed to Saint Joseph that Mary was pregnant with a divine child, Saint Joseph was inches away from the tabernacle presence of God in Mary's womb. Saint Joseph's wife was a walking tabernacle. The incarnate God was living and growing inside Saint Joseph's wife's womb, and he didn't even know it. God was preparing him to be the loving father of the greatest treasure the world has ever known, the incarnate son of God. As a newly married man, Saint Joseph never wanted to be far away from his wife. Mary must have come to him and expressed a desire to visit her relative Elizabeth for 3 months, and this must have been quite a surprise to Saint Joseph. When we read this episode in the New Testament, we tend to presume that Mary did not ask Saint Joseph to accompany her to Elizabeth's. The sacred text, however, does not inform us of what exactly happened on this occasion, other than telling us that Mary went in haste to the hill country. We are not told if Saint Joseph went or not. Saints and mystics, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, Saint Bonaventure, Saint Bernardine of Siena, Saint Francis de Sales, Venerable Mary of Agreda, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, and others believe that Saint Joseph did accompany Mary to Elizabeth's. Why wouldn't he go with her? What kind of husband would he be if he let his young and beautiful wife make such a long journey unaccompanied by her husband? The New Testament does not explicitly tell us that Saint Joseph went with Mary, but it also does not explicitly tell us that he didn't. From a marital perspective, how could he stand to be away from her for so long? It actually makes a lot of sense that Saint Joseph would have accompanied Mary to Elizabeth's, and maybe even stayed there with her for the 3 months. It's a very long journey from Nazareth to the hill country where Elizabeth lived, nearly 100 miles. Horrible things could have happened to St. Joseph's beautiful bride on the journey. What newly married man would not be concerned about such a journey, especially one that involved walking and sleeping in dangerous places? No man in his right mind would stay behind. In the mystical writings of Venerable Mary of Agreda, Mary and St. Joseph engaged in a delightful conversation about the visitation. Mary to Saint Joseph. My Lord and husband, it has pleased the Lord to enlighten me, informing me that my cousin Elizabeth, despite being infertile, is now expecting a long-desired child. Therefore, I think it may be suitable that I go and visit her to be of assistance and spiritual comfort to her. If, my Lord, this is in accordance with your will, I shall do so. Consider yourself what may be best and command me what I am to do. Saint Joseph to Mary. You well know, my lady and my wife, that you desire that your desires are mine, and that I trust fully in your prudence, since you are the most honest will would incline to nothing that was not of the greatest satisfaction to the Most High. So I believe it to be with this journey. And so, that it may not appear strange that you undertake it without the company of your husband, I shall follow you with joy to be of use to you on the way until you have reached your destination. Even if Saint Joseph did not remain with Mary at Elizabeth's for 3 months, it is very likely that he at least accompanied his wife to Elizabeth's to keep Mary safe from robbers and men with bad intentions. Upon arriving at Elizabeth's with Mary, he would have then returned to Nazareth alone. After 3 months, he would have made the return journey to Elizabeth's and safely escorted his wife back to their home in Nazareth. But if these things did happen, Saint Joseph unknowingly conducted the first procession of the body and blood of our Lord. For the sake of meditation, let's say that Saint Joseph at least accompanied Mary to Elizabeth's. What might he have experienced upon arriving at Elizabeth's? Well, he most likely would have heard Elizabeth's spirit-filled greeting to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord said to her would be fulfilled. Luke chapter 1, verses 42 through 45. What would Saint Joseph have thought of Elizabeth's greeting? Her words would have seemed strange to him. There is no way he would have understood their theological significance, because he had no idea that his wife was pregnant. Yet, as a man of deep prayer, he would have pondered her words and taken them to prayer. He didn't understand their significance at the time, but months later, when he noticed that Mary was pregnant, he would have recalled Elizabeth's words, remembering that Elizabeth called Mary Mother of my Lord. Saint Joseph's eyes would have been open to the full reality of what was happening in the womb of his wife. As a devout Jew, Saint Joseph was not ignorant of the scripture that states that a virgin would bring forth the Messiah. See Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Realizing this great wonder, he would have felt completely unworthy to be the husband and father of such a woman and child. The possibility that Saint Joseph accompanied Mary and heard Elizabeth's spirit-filled greeting helps us to understand why Saint Joseph never doubted Mary or wanted to divorce her. As Saint Elizabeth had done, as Elizabeth had been, he was overwhelmed with reverential awe at the revelation that his beloved wife was pregnant with a heavenly child. A just and God-fearing man, Saint Joseph did not consider himself worthy of living under the same roof as Mary and serving as the father of the child in her womb. How could he possibly be worthy to be the husband of such a wife? How could he ever take such a mother and child into his home and into his care? Nothing short of an angelic announcement would keep him from removing himself from the picture. On the other hand, if Saint Joseph did not accompany his wife to Elizabeth's house, imagine the loneliness he must have felt being without Mary for 3 months. A separation of such a duration would have been a torture to his heart. His heart must have longed to be reunited with his beloved. To hear her voice must have been on his mind day and night. How his heart must have beat wildly with joy at the return of his queen after three long months apart. Whether he accompanied Mary to Elizabeth's or not, he most likely traveled with his wife and son to see Elizabeth, Zechariah, and their son, John the Baptist, on later visitations. Such family visits are normal. Catholic intuition has always known this and depicted these visitations in art. Scenes of Mary, Saint Joseph, the child Jesus, and John the Baptist are prominent in Catholic art throughout the world. After all, Jesus and John were relatives. They would have played and prayed together during the many visits that took place over the years. Saint Joseph might not have been present to hear Elizabeth's greeting or been present to witness the birth of John the Baptist, but Saint Joseph would have seen and spoken with John the Baptist on other family visits. Saint Joseph and Saint John the Baptist had to have known each other. In the first procession with Jesus was to Elizabeth's house. The second procession took place when Saint Joseph journeyed with his pregnant wife to Bethlehem to be enrolled in the census. In this procession, Saint Joseph established the world's first adoration chapel, Bethlehem. Saint Joseph went in haste with Mary to Bethlehem, which means house of bread, so that the bread of eternal life might be born there. Venerable Joseph Mindszenty. How fitting it is that the first public exposition of the living bread from heaven took place in Bethlehem. As Venerable Joseph Mindszenty notes, the word Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. In Arabic, Bethlehem means house of meat or house of flesh. Our Jesus, the true bread, came down from heaven, was born in poverty, and placed in a manger for a reason. Our Lord is a humble king, and he wanted Saint Joseph to place him in a poor manger because a manger is where animals feed. The word manger is related to the well-known Italian word mangiare, eat. Almost intimate familiarity to be always with God, to speak only to God, to work, to rest, to converse in the company and presence of God. How many times did the happy tutor of the child Jesus, like a chaste bee, gather the nectar of pure devotion from this beautiful flower of Jesse? How many times did he, Saint Joseph, like the dove, hide in the heart of this rock? Blessed William Joseph Chaminade. The first Adoration Chapel was visited by local shepherds, followed closely by wise men who came from a distant land to pay homage to the newborn God King, laying in a feeding trough manger. Saint Joseph would not only establish adoration in the Holy Land, though. Saint Joseph established the second Adoration Chapel in pagan territory, Egypt. Saint Joseph was bold. When Jesus was born, Egypt was both pagan territory and the breadbasket of the world. How fitting that God sent Saint Joseph to Egypt. There, Saint Joseph was responsible for raising the living host that would feed the world. The Joseph of the Old Testament had saved his people from starvation and dispensing grain out of Egypt. The new Joseph would offer the world the grain he lovingly helped grow in Egypt, the living bread that gives eternal life. After their time in Egypt, Saint Joseph and Mary walked with Jesus to Nazareth. This long walk was, and remains, the grandest procession of the body and blood of Christ ever conducted. It was a procession that covered more than 120 miles. Once in Nazareth, Saint Joseph and his wife adored the divine presence of Jesus in their home for decades. In one sense, it was like a house of perpetual adoration and uninterrupted contemplation, even while they carried out all the daily tasks and chores of domestic life. The adoration lasted for decades. If the two disciples going to Emmaus were inflamed with divine love by the few moments which they had spent in company with our Savior and by his words, so much so that they said, "Was not our heart burning within us while he spoke to us on the way?" What flames of holy love must we not suppose to have been enkindled in our heart of Saint Joseph, in the heart of Saint Joseph, who for 30 years conversed with Jesus Christ and listened to his words of eternal life? Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Even if Jesus were outside the home, working or on a journey, Saint Joseph was still in the presence of God when he was near his wife. Let me explain. Have you heard of fetal microchimerism, sometimes also called fetal-maternal microchimerism? It's a long, complicated term, I know, but it reveals something wonderful about the biological connection between a mother and a child. Fetal microchimerism is the scientific term that describes a process in which living cells of a child remain in the body of a mother after her pregnancy has ended. In the late 20th century, scientists discovered that when a woman becomes pregnant and after she has given birth, there are cells from her baby that remain in the mother's body. Many of these cells remain in her body for the rest of her life. Scientists and researchers have also discovered that the cellular exchange occurs in the other direction as well. The cells of the mother are exchanged with her child, with her children, and remain in their bodies of her children for life. This is amazing. Though Saint Joseph knew nothing of fetal microchimerism, God continued to bless him with the presence of Jesus whenever he was in the presence of his wife. To be near Mary is to be near Jesus. Jesus lives in her. Mary has in her body some of the divine son's living cells. Our Lord didn't need to be in the house for Saint Joseph to remain in the presence of God. Wherever Mary was, Jesus was. Saint Joseph's wife is a living tabernacle, a walking monstrance, a veiled temple. No wonder the demons do not dare to come near Mary. She is never without the divine presence. God lives in her body. If the lily, by being exposed only for a few days to the light and the heat of the sun, acquires its dazzling whiteness, who can conceive the extraordinary degree of purity to which Saint Joseph was exalted by being exposed as he was day and night for so many years to the rays of the Sun of Justice and of the mystical moon, who derives all her splendor from him, Jesus. Saint Francis de Sales. I congratulate you, most holy patriarch, for those delightful hours you spent joyfully contemplating Jesus and happily enjoying the beautiful interior and exterior beauty of Mary. Constantly you studied them, drawing sweetness, patience, and self-denial from their hearts. Blessed Concepcion Cabrera de Armida. Priests, monks, and nuns are privileged to experience something of what it would have been like to be Saint Joseph. Every monastery and or convent has a tabernacle housing the divine presence. All tabernacles are basically a replica of Mary's bodily temple. It doesn't matter if the tabernacle is veiled or if the doors are closed. Jesus is still there. It was the same in the Holy House of Nazareth. God lived in Mary at all times, and Saint Joseph was perpetually in the presence of Jesus. The mark of the Christian is the willingness to look for the divine in the flesh of a babe in a crib, the continuing Christ under the appearance of bread on an altar. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. Mary, God's tabernacle, is replicated in every tabernacle in a Catholic church. What is often missing in front of those tabernacles, however, are souls who resemble Saint Joseph. Souls who adore Jesus present and hidden in the tabernacle. The church needs more people like Saint Joseph. We must beg for good adorers. The Blessed Sacrament needs them to replicate Saint Joseph and to imitate his life of adoration. Saint Peter Julian Aimard. To be like Saint Joseph, you too need to adore Christ. You can go to the nearest Catholic church where Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. The Eucharist is Jesus Christ. The Blessed Sacrament is the source and summit of the Christian faith, and Saint Joseph wants to lead you to a deeper relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist. In 1997, Saint John Paul II conducted a papal visit to the Shrine of St. Joseph in Kaliz, Poland, and informed those in attendance that before each of his masses, he prayed the following prayer to St. Joseph. O happy man, St. Joseph, whose privilege it was not only to see and hear that God, whom many a king has longed to see, yet saw not, longed to hear, yet heard not, reference Matthew chapter 13, verse 17, but also to carry him in your arms and kiss him, to clothe him and watch over him. O God, who was conferred upon us a royal priesthood, we pray to you to give us grace to minister at your holy altars with hearts as clean and lives as blameless as that blessed Joseph, who was found to hold in his arms and, with all reverence, carry your only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary. Enable us this day to receive worthily the sacred body and blood of your Son, and equip us to win an everlasting reward in the world to come. Amen. Spend time in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. If there's a perpetual adoration at a church in your area, sign up for a weekly holy hour. Adoration will change your life. If there isn't a church with perpetual adoration in your area, sometimes a parish will have adoration for a few hours a day or on a particular day of the week. Go! If you are unable to find a church that offers exposition of the Blessed Sacrament at all, simply visit any Catholic church and pray before the tabernacle. Jesus is there night and day. He waits for you. Be another Saint Joseph for Jesus and Mary. When you visit the Most Blessed Sacrament, approach Jesus with the love of the Blessed Virgin, Saint Joseph, and Saint John. Saint Joseph Sebastian Pelczar. O Blessed Joseph, I adore with you the first words that came from the mouth of the Incarnate Word. I prostrate myself with you to kiss with reverence the first footprints left by his adorable feet. O infinite God, you became weak in order to give us strength. You desired to speak like other children in order to teach us the language of heaven. O blessed Joseph, inspire me with your feelings for Jesus and obtain for me the grace to love God like you. Amen. Blessed Bartolo Longo. The Litany of Saint Joseph. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Christ hear us. Christ graciously hear us. God the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Noble offspring of David, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. Spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. Foster father of the Son of God, pray for us. Zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. Head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Joseph most just, pray for us. Joseph most chaste, pray for us. Joseph most prudent, pray for us. Joseph most courageous, pray for us. Joseph most obedient, pray for us. Joseph most faithful, pray for us. Mayor of patience, pray for us. Lover of poverty, pray for us. Model of workmen, pray for us. Glory of domestic life, pray for us. Guardian of virgins, pray for us. Pillar of families, pray for us. Comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Hope of the sick, pray for us. Patron of the dying, pray for us. Terror of demons, pray for us. Protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. He has made him Lord of his household and Prince over all his possessions. Let us pray. O God, who in your loving providence chose Blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Okay, what a cool day today. I like this one. I enjoyed this one. And I hope you did too, because I had a couple things I wanted to just touch on here. As we reviewed today, Joseph Most Faithful, and a couple pearls that I wanted to just mention here is that Saint Joseph is a model of faith. And as we went through, they referenced that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this was in Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1. And as a Christian is called to have faith in Jesus and trust in him, this is something that Saint Joseph, to say he mastered is an understatement. But he was the model of faith and trust. And he knew that Jesus was the Christ, and he knew that he was in the presence of God, and he trusted in him, and he held fast to Jesus's words, even when his mind and senses were not able to completely understand what Jesus meant. And I thought that was, that's hard to do. That's hard. I can only imagine that, even when he did not understand, he held his faith. And that was the assurance of things hoped for. I mentioned that he was very well versed in scripture. He was a very faithful Jew. And that was definitely referenced here. And his faith was very deep in good times and in bad. At the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, which was, I don't have to say, it was a completely suboptimal and not a good feeling, not being able to provide for your wife or your child to be a nice, safe and secure environment. He was in a barn. He was in a stable, a manger. That we later found out translated in a few different languages to be, house of meat, house of bread, and which is fitting. And I know that God had that planned out, obviously. But not just then, when Saint Joseph was faithful to Jesus in health and sickness, when he was teaching Jesus to be a good carpenter and dying in his arms, and when the riches ran out and Saint Joseph was in poverty after the Magi brought the gold and that ran out and they were living in poverty in Egypt, which had to have been very hard. So, but I think the other significant pearl from that initial reading is that Saint Joseph will help. Saint Joseph will increase your faith. And this is to be remembered when you suffer financial loss, when you are belittled and spoken ill of, and you take a stance against abortion, and you stand strong against homosexual marriage, and you don't back down when the world says contraception is okay. This is where your reward will be great in heaven. And to say that the world could richly benefit from more men like Saint Joseph, imitating his faith and loving trust and being steadfast, trusting, and intrepid in our faith. This was the crux and the gist of the Joseph being most faithful. And as we moved over to the adorer of Christ, this is where the more substantial part of today was invested with the reading. As we look to our Blessed Mother, she was the first tabernacle. She was the walking tabernacle with the Christ within her, in her womb. And being medical, yes, I'm kind of partial to this day's reflection, because this went over something called maternal fetal microchimerism. And this is something very special. In fact, this is something I had no idea about until I did the consecration to St. Joseph last year. And as I'm reading this, it's like I'm pulling a page out of one of my medical textbooks where, of course, this makes sense. Of course, this is not some sci-fi theory or some string theory that, you know, is not not proven. I don't have to tell you that with the 23andMe and the DNA testing that is available now, they have traced DNA all the way back, and I don't have it in front of me, and but it's called I think it's called eDNA or something of that sort. It's something in that realm, but the E stands for Eve, where they were able to trace DNA all the way back to its original origin, which is phenomenal. And you know, if you can trace that all the way back, you better believe that, you know, this theory on maternal fetal microchimerism is in fact real also, where cells from Jesus were passed on to Mary and vice versa, Mary to Jesus. Even after Jesus was born, Mary had the true presence of Christ always within her. It's incredible. Like, it's to picture this, it's incredible. Your own mother has your cells in her to this day. And you have cells from your mother in you to this day. That doesn't leave. That will never leave. And the same way Christ never left our Blessed Mother, Our Lady, she at all times, even when Jesus was not present, which is what this is referring to, she always had God in her presence, in the deepest, most rooted portion of her entire body, and circulating through her blood, flowing through her heart, going to her entire body. She was a walking tabernacle prior to and after the birth of the Christ. And every time St. Joseph was in the presence of Mary, he was in the presence of the Holy Family. If this is not a concept to just take some time to unpack, go ahead and take the rest of today to try and conceptualize this and bring this to your prayer today. Bring this to your meditation. Believe me, I spent days, and to this day, it's still something I love to I love to think about. And this is so fascinating. Mariology is a fascinating study in theology. And I know that we're doing our consecration to St. Joseph, but for those of you who have not, the Marian consecration is a wonderful consecration. I strongly, strongly encourage anyone and everyone to pursue. I know I'm kind of drifting into this, but this was a very relevant portion of our review for today. The outside of the Marian consecration, the Marian apparitions, think about this too. These apparitions that that all these mystics were able to, were given the grace to partake in. Jesus was with Mary too. It's not like this goes away. This is not like this was a past story that we read about. And, you know, these apparitions are real. They took place. And when Mary is present, Jesus is present. And this, if anyone has ever read into this spiritual warfare and the fight against good and evil, Satan despises Mary. Satan hates Mary more than any outside of Jesus. There is no one who ever walked this earth that he hates more than Mary. And Saint Joseph is number three on his hate list there, in the order. The Holy Family, Satan absolutely hates. But if you can imagine why Satan hates Mary so much more than any other human, it's not just Mary. It's Mary and Jesus both. It and the power that Mary has over evil. She crushed the head of the serpent. And again, this is what was again referenced in our readings here today, that Satan can't stand Mary and her incredible holiness and again that circulating presence of Jesus, the maternal fetal microchimerism. Super cool. Take some time, look into this a little bit, pray and meditate on it. I know I'm way off on a tangent, but it's medical, and that's where my life work has been, and I greatly appreciate this, and I really, really enjoyed today's reading. So again, I hope you did too. Tomorrow is right around the corner. We have day 22, which is we jump into the next series here, where we'll be reviewing the Mirror of Patience. So until then, I know today was a little bit of a longer day, but again, a super valuable one, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, and thanks for praying and following along with me today. So have a great day, and we'll pick up more on this here tomorrow. Take care.